Thank you, Fred Blair, our streamer and treasurer from KPFK. Hi, my name is James Sagerton. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for May 11th, 2021. I am the chair. We believe we have quorum, and I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen? Nick Arena?
Nick will speak about 20 minutes late.
Yes, I saw that. Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey? Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Okay, that is eight, and that is a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Now we'll go to the agenda. I will read the agenda. It starts number one, convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements. Number five, minutes approval for 3 minutes. Oh, and I'm sorry, chair's announcements are 2 minutes. Number six, review of Pacifica Radio Station KPFT's fiscal year 2021 draft budget. GM David Bays presenting, 60 minutes. Seven is the central service credit to stations based on Paycheck Protection Program income. Lyndon Foley, 30 minutes. Number eight, reports from stations on budget timeline progress. KPFK hopefully will be the only one left after tonight. So if we get to that item, we can discuss the situation there. Number nine is new business. Number 10, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Is there any discussion, additions, amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll assume that it's adopted. Now we're going to go to the chair's announcements. Tonight we will review Pacifica Radio Station KPFT's draft budget, which has come to us after being approved by the KPFT Finance Committee and the KPFT LSB. General Manager David Bays presenting. We will also discuss a proposal to give stations credit for central services based on money received through the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP. At our next meeting, I hope to begin work on the KPFK budget. After that, we will consider the national office budget and revisit the central services formula that is inextricably related to it. Hopefully, this schedule will allow NETA to pursue its primary goal of seeing the 2020 audit completed by the absolute deadline of June 30th, 2021, and allow the NFC to complete its main function of reviewing and approving budgets in as timely a manner as possible so we can begin the process on time for fiscal year 2022. There are no other new announcements. So now we are going to minutes approval. R. Paul, I understand there are minutes.
Yes, there are. So I move to approve the minutes of the April 13th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion, additions, subtractions? These can always be corrected at a later date. Is there any objection to approving those minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider them approved. R. Paul, are there any others?
That's it.
I thought so. Thank you. And thank you. I know that that's tedious, demanding work, and we appreciate it. That brings us to number six, review of Pacifica Radio Station KPFT's fiscal 2021 draft budget. We have our guest with us, David Bays. In keeping with our policy of taking our guests first in the agenda, we want to welcome David to our meeting. I'd just like to note that David is the new general manager at KPFT. I think he's been on board with Pacifica for about 3 months. I've had a chance to have an enlightening conversation with him. He's a radio professional, a radio engineer, as a matter of fact, and I think he's going to be a great asset to Pacifica. David, the floor is yours.
Well, I want to thank everybody for taking time out to get this pushed through. I know that it was already set in motion by the time that I arrived in January. The only items that I can really say is that the budget that you have in front of you was done by Markeisha. It is real close to being perfect as we can get it to be. Moving forward, there are additional costs that I've already set in motion to be trying to roll back at least 10% to 20% of money that needs to go out of the building. So, but for the budget that you all have in front of you, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that I can. The only thing I can ask is please keep in mind that I did not find this budget. I only am reading the exact same items that you are.
I'm sorry, say that last thing again, David. What was that?
I said the only thing I can ask, I can field any questions that anybody would have. Just keep in mind that I did not formulate this budget, so
some
of the questions I may not be able to answer because I don't know the thinking or the process behind it. In fact, we've already began the process of our budget should be ready for our next local finance meeting by next month. So I've already moved ahead to next year's budget. But like I said, I'll be more than happy to answer anything that I can regarding the budget that's in front of all of you.
Thank you, David. And I will just take a moment. I should have said this earlier. We did reach out to Markeisha, Van Zandt, Sampson, and she was unable to attend tonight. We hoped that she would be here, but she had a previous commitment involving her children, and I guess she was not able to rearrange that. So apologies for that. And, of course, David was not here when this budget was created. He did not take part in it. So it is it's unfortunate that we don't have Markeisha, but we'll try and go ahead as best we can. Okay. Are there any questions?
Go ahead, Chris. This is Anita. Go after.
I heard you, Anita. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
It was just a quick question. I just want to make sure that I'm reading off the correct spreadsheet. I'm looking at KPFT fiscal year 2021 budget version 2. Is that what we're looking at?
Yes. Markeisha had resent it out yesterday, so you all would have the correct copy.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to know for now. Thank you.
You're back. Thanks. Sorry.
Can you say when that went out exactly, Chris, so that everybody else can find that if they don't have it in front of them?
Okay. I got it off of your email, James, actually. So this would be 5/10/21 at 4 p.m. I guess that's Pacific time, so 7 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you. Okay. Anita.
Yes, just a comment. I was just going to say that I did see it before, and as I'm kind of glancing at it now, and Markeisha is wonderful. I wanted to add that, as all of you know. So I felt very comfortable the last time that her and I talked about it.
Very good. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Just to go over some of this. So the bottom line is you're projecting to end FY21 with a $9,000 surplus. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And I'm looking at major donor here, and you're projecting $3,000 every month, which seems a little regular, but... is there any reason for the projection of that exact amount, or you know, how do you come to that number?
Well, we do have specific major donors that do kick in every year at the exact same time. I think that Markeisha is taking that into account. Also, the other thing that we need to take into account is that anything considered over $1,000 is considered to be a major donor. And so far, every month throughout this last year, they have had at least one to two pledges, if not more, of $1,000, $1,200, or...
This is Teresa on the call.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay, and so I again notice that these are numbers, and there are no formulas, and yeah, okay, next FY22 we got to do this differently, but all right, I think I'm done here. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. Is there any other questions? Are there any other questions? Yeah, I think we're a little bit at a loss without the person who knows the budget in detail.
Well, this is Sharon. I guess I have a question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, I'm not sure if this is for this budget, but since there was a big pause, I thought I would ask a question. First, nice to meet you over the phone. I just heard, well, I'm wondering about the bequest of the building that was, bequested to KPFT. I'm wondering how that fits in the budget or what's going on with that.
Well, at that point, the building had not been sold. The building was just recently sold in April. That was the very first thing that I did once I got here in January. Was I spent a good solid month getting the house prepared for sale. And once we completed that, it literally sold within a week or two. That money has since gone into the national account. That is about as far as I know. It was approximately, I believe it was around $124,000.
That's correct.
Oh, so that's not going for the... I understand it would be for the next fiscal year because you just sold it in this. Wait, no, I'm somewhat confused, actually. So how is that? Because that is in this fiscal year that we're in right now. So how was that treated? It wasn't attributed to KPFT, or how was that treated?
I'm sorry, if I make this comment. The funds came, Sharon, to the national office. I do know that. And I'm waiting for the paperwork to get that from Lydia so it can be recorded. So in the March, April, probably it's going to be more in like May financials. But we don't have the paperwork yet, so I can't tell you what the proceeds are fully, other than my understanding is about $124,000.
Okay, that's great. That's actually excellent. And I was just curious, though. I was kind of trying to replay in my mind. But does that mean that it's like 50%? I'm curious about the rule or whatever that was passed about bequest, or whether this fits in there, and how is it going to be split between the national office and KPFT, or has that been decided yet?
This I don't think it's for the staff. Decided unless if David knows.
Yeah, that as far as I know, that has not been decided by Lydia at this time.
This is Lyndon for the stack.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Lyndon, I'm going to ask you to go ahead, and then I have a comment to make about how that should work, according to the thing we passed. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. Back when the previous board passed a resolution, and I checked with Grace on it, and as far as I know, 30% of something like this, of a bequeathment like this, is supposed to go to the FJC loan, and 70% is supposed to go to the station. And this was discussed when we were talking about re-upping the loan, extending the loan, and I thought that was the result of that discussion also, but I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, we don't control the checkbook.
I'll add just a little bit of information. On February 6th, the PNB passed a resolution declaring that 50% of all windfall income that's donated to the national office and 30% of all windfall income that's received by the stations will go to paying off the FJC creditor. That's the so-called big loan. And windfall income is defined as bequests, major donors, major donations, and grants. So this would qualify as a bequest. And since it's a bequest to a station, 30% of it should go to pay the big loan. And I think what Lydia decided, this was in the resolution, but I think she mentioned that that would be credited to KPFT's central services.
Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
She did say that some of it would be credited to our central services to make up for the central services in arrears. She has said, you know, at different times, $20,000 or $25,000. I'm not sure if it may wind up being a little bit more than that. But if the math worked out, $124,000, and if we were to subtract the $4,500, I believe we paid for the property taxes before it was sold, and then took 70% of that, added the $4,000 back, I think we'd get about $88,000, $89,000. Or Houston, that's what it should be, and a portion of that, maybe 20 or 30, going to our backlog, our arrears in central services. That's where I'm thinking things have been described that they should go. That's how it should shake out.
I'll put myself on the stack again. Not hearing anyone else. I believe.
When you're ready.
Okay, thank you. I believe that, again, in not an unfamiliar fashion, that resolution did not specify, you know, deducting expenses like taxes and fees and real estate fees and such. And it also, I don't think, specified let me just say that. I don't think it specified what happens to the other expenses. And as I said earlier, I don't think it even specified that it would be applied to the central services, but it certainly makes perfect sense. I'm sorry, who was that requested the stack a moment ago?
Teresa.
Sorry, thank you, Teresa. Go ahead.
David, thank you so much for all of your hard work. And I just have, you know, you have made very important strides since you've come. You've actually reduced some expenses. And we've been asking for several years that some of these expenses be reduced. So I think that this budget, which actually was written, I guess, last September, when we first saw it, it really hasn't been changed since then. So some of the things that are that it says are expenses, they're not really what we're paying because you've actually reduced some of those. And prospectively, this budget was written before you came on, so some of the things that that weren't done last year that you can do might actually generate more revenue. You have considerable experience in underwriting, and KPFT has already given permission for underwriting. Nobody has written any grants, to my knowledge, and nobody has made personal appeals to big donors, or even letters followed up with an appeal. Nobody has really worked hard at getting people to include KPFT in their wills, and it is not unusual for a person, when asked if they would like to put an organization in a will, that they say, well, I have some money to give now. Do you foresee any income from sources in the up for the rest of this fiscal year that is not included in this budget?
Well, I do know that the only thing that I know of at this point that has been given to us, but I'm not sure if actually has put it in this budget or not. We had a donation come in that comes in once a year that funds our translator in Huntsville. And it's in there, $10,000 grant. It isn't. But that has come in. It should be available to us at the end of this month. But it is here in the budget. I do see that. So Arkesha added that before she resent this out. So, but that is the only thing that I know that is major income at this time. I know that there were small grants that were applied for that we did not receive. So it's just a matter of continuing to try. I know there's a lot of grants out there. But I do have plans for the next budget year, as Teresa did, that I've already cut a lot of expenses. I've been working very closely with Lyndon as well to take off what I call, you know, needless items that are sitting there on the budget that we're paying for that we're not actually using anymore. It's basically cleaning up the spreadsheet, and I'm finding a lot of those things are, you know, were things from our engineering department that at some point or another they felt they needed, but they really don't need them. So I'm working on that along with rolling back of our expenses, especially with our internet and phone services that we have right now. I have reinstalled and repaired our studio to transmitter link over the air, so we don't have to depend on the internet to provide us a feed anymore. So we'll be able to back off on a lot of the lines that we have, and we're working right now on trying to work on a phone situation that's a lot more feasibly, you know, what we can actually grasp a little bit better now, because we don't physically need phones in the building, as we can't have it at this time, but we are working on right now getting a cloud-based service where we are actually able to get, you know, phone calls and messages, and in the time, the main phone line has transferred over to our pledge line since we are in the middle of pledge. So, but as for the original question, any major donors that I have not seen anything come in since I've been here except for Olive Hershey. She did make a contribution, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was $12,000, and I think it's also marked in here. But those are the only major things that we've had come in.
Okay, I have one other question. Some people may feel that there is a hiring freeze. And last May, we had an employee who resigned. His name was Nibu, and we did not replace him.
Teresa, I don't think we should mention employees' names, okay. Probably. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we had a person who was a clerk in our membership, and that person resigned, and we never replaced that person. Not this May, the May before. And I'm wondering, this position has the potential, because it's membership, if this person did anything strategic, could actually generate income. And we have the lowest membership of all the stations, and I think it has to be because we haven't had anyone working our membership department in so long.
Well, there's a lot of other things that are causing that problem as well. But as the way that things are sitting right now, there is no room to add in any additional employees. If they would like to do it on a voluntary basis, that would be different. But right now, I'm looking at our current pledge, and we haven't even hit $16,000, and we've been in pledge for over 6 days.
But we had no one working in advance of this pledge drive to get maybe some sort of challenge fund, like, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 in pledges to challenge those to give, for example.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And unfortunately, the person that we have in our membership department is doing about 15 different things. And so, you know, I can't task her with every single thing, unfortunately. But if we can get volunteers that would be more than willing to work with her, I would be more than okay with that. But right now, I can't sustain anything else in this budget. There is no room.
I'm going to put myself on the stack for a moment if no one else is ready. David, do you know, are you aware of how this fund drive compares to first of all, is this your first fund drive? And if it's
no,
if so, it's not. Okay. So how does this fund drive compare to previous ones? And along those same lines, I'd like to know if you are aware of whether or not previous budgets were available to your LSB and your finance committee when they drew up this budget. And that's the same question for Anita. Do you have reference to the prior budgets so you can compare to see if there are any anomalous expenses or, you know, to help you clean up the budget?
I think the only thing that I've noticed is the $10,000, quite frankly, that I don't remember seeing.
Right, and that just came in this month, so.
That was the donation.
Yes.
Right. That's for the running of the translator in Huntsville.
And David, or, you know, Anita first, I guess, and then David. Anita, do you have access to the old budgets?
Yes.
Okay, good. And David, are you aware that you have them available for comparison?
I do not have them for comparison.
Okay, well, maybe Anita can make them available to you or Markeisha.
Sure.
That would be awesome. Yes. Now, I do know that over the many, 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 many hours that I've spent with Markeisha, pre-pandemic, the numbers were a lot higher. The building was in a lot better shape than where it is currently, which has really, I would say, put a pandemic on top of a plague of not having a building, and you're looking at devastation for the poor, you know, folks that have been trying to keep this place running and all of the, you know, the wonderful volunteers that we have. They try so hard, and they're still doing a wonderful job trying to do what they do. Unfortunately, with not being able to change programming at this point, not being able to get in the additional staffing, as Teresa has suggested, it's going to be a rough road back. But I know that it can be done. I know that we'll figure out a building situation as quickly as humanly possible. I have every faith in the PNB to get that done. I'm working with Lydia on a daily basis to make sure that I know where we're heading, and so I'm able to make sure that, that we're prepared as a group to move forward. I'm also working on some other projects kind of in the background, and once I have more details on that, I may be able to provide another option for housing. But I'm just not quite there yet, and I don't like to throw things out there without having proof on paper. I'm just not that guy. But I will tell you that pre-pandemic, they were doing a little bit better. They were doing much better. The listenership is still not where it needed to be at that point. They've been slowly coming down since about 2012. At last count, our weekly listenership has dropped to less than 10,000 people. And if you take 10,000 people divided by 7 days, divided by 24 hours in each of those days, that pretty much tells you where we are. So we're depending on the 500 and some odd current donor base that we have to stay afloat. And in the next year, my goal is to double, triple, quadruple that base by expanding programming, by getting, you know, us out into the public a lot more now that they're starting to ease restrictions, you know, get volunteers, do the things that need to be done. And so I think that, you know, it's just going to be a matter of patience. But the one thing I can say, in behalf of Markeisha, is that, you know, through all this station has been through, she has never allowed it to go under. And I absolutely hold her high for that, because there were times that she didn't know if she could even keep that up. And so I'm very, very happy with her. I'm very happy with her strength that she holds in it. And Robin, for doing everything that she does to not only help me set these pledge drives up, but make sure that everything that we're telling the listeners that they can get are there, making sure that the mailings go out, making sure that the follow-ups are going out. She's making phone calls on a weekly basis. Between three people, it's very, very busy. So we're working hard, and I think that this budget, like I said, when we go to present to the local board next month, you're going to see some changes in here that, you know, may not make a world of difference, but you got to start somewhere. And I think that working with Lyndon and Teresa, and we've already distinguished where I'm going to be able to pull money back from, I think Lyndon's, at least I know for a fact, Lyndon's pretty happy with that. So, you know, working with the people that we have, that's the key, is we got to do this as a team. It's not a one-man show. So.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Fred, for the stack.
Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. I'm looking at the budget you have here. I noticed that both on total revenue and total operating expenses, that your budget is up on total revenue by $50,000 over last year, and on total costs, I believe you're up about $20,000. But looking at the NETA's P&L that you sent out also with the budget, that the trend line for this year has been down by about, revenue has been down by 15%. I don't know if that will change with the bequest that you described to us that's not currently in here. I noticed that both the operating expenses and the trend line for the operating expenses and for revenue are down. Revenue is down by 15% and operating expenses is down by 20%. So I guess my question is, your budget, you seem to be budgeting more this year than last year, but the trend seems to be down currently, at least with the P&L through January. So can you explain that?
I think a lot of that had to do with a lot of, well, I mean, like I said, I can't go back past January, but from what I'm seeing, I exactly see what you're seeing. And I think a lot of it, again, was due to, you know, loss of listenership. I think a lot of it was you know, when I got here, they had a lot of things that were broken that had to be repaired or replaced, or they wouldn't be on the air at all. So I think that difference is definitely due to not being able to be live. And just, like I said, at the point that I got here, everybody was just happy to be holding on. And, you know, we've made great strides to try to get it up. So I agree with you. I don't know. I don't think Markeisha, and Netta can help me with this. I'm not sure. I don't think she put the house in there, because at one point I know that I was told that we may not get any of it. And so, you know, when I talked to Markeisha, I said, I would rather plan for the worst case scenario of not getting anything and try to build from there. And then anything that we would happen to get would be a gift or a bonus, and that would be helpful. But I think a lot of it was due to not only pandemic, building closure, which caused loss of listenership. I think that's where we're definitely seeing the difference between the total revenue and the total operating expenses. Because even though the building's been closed, the operating expenses are still there. We've had a lot of transmitter problems that I've been able to fix, but they've cost some money. But at least now we're stable, and we have a little ways to go, but I think we're closer than where we were.
Thank you.
I have a follow-up question on that, if no one else has a question right away. I'm wondering, I mean, this doesn't sound regular to me. I mean, I think it depends on the form of the gift. David, do you know if the gift was made to KPFT or was it made to Pacifica? Is it in, I think our normal practice is when a gift is made to a station, they get to keep it. That's why we had that February 6th resolution saying that 30% of windfall income to stations would go to pay off the debt. We had to intrude on the stations to do that. So
if I'm not mistaken, the gentleman wrote out in his will that it went to the Pacifica Foundation. I don't think he specifically put KPFT on there. I think he wrote it to Pacifica. And because that was one of the very first things we had to deal with was, okay, are we doing paperwork in California? Are we doing the paperwork here? Are we, you know, how are we doing this? What's the legal ease on this? And I believe that it was held in California for the closing, simply because of the way it was worded for Pacifica.
So would you agree at some point that we might actually do some training among our staff when they're pitching on the air, develop perhaps some kind of a legacy giving program where we can instruct our listeners who are interested in such a thing how to make out a gift to make sure it goes where they want it to?
Oh, I believe that would be great. I think something else that would be very helpful is if we had a form that, you know, that was, you know, set up directly for KPFT, no other stations. You know, KPFK can have theirs, KPFA can have theirs, and that way when the person signs, it says right there, you know, we bequest the following donation, house, car, boat, whatever, to be entitled to the account of KPFT. I think that would be tremendous, you know, and then I think the education could build around that as well. But yes, I think we should have forms in house that you know specifically say station specifics on it. I would agree.
That's pretty basic stuff, is it not?
It can be. My understanding is because of the way that Pacifica is set up, that has to go under California law. And then I hear bits and pieces saying that we could do it as a part of Texas law. So that I'm not familiar with. I'm not a lawyer. I wish I were. But my
no,
understanding
don't.
Is because we're under the umbrella of Pacifica, that it would have to, in some form, go to the head office, and then it would have to be rolled down from there.
What I meant was it's pretty basic stuff for a network such as ours that lives on donations from our listeners primarily, to have some kind of a legacy giving program and have these forms in place and have this worked out ahead of time so that we can be educating our listeners about it as
right.
we broadcast and have events, et cetera.
Well, and the other
Sorry
thing
to
that,
put it back.
That I'm not quite finished with yet is I've been working at, I don't know if anybody has seen it, but we've revamped our website completely. I've had a really good team of volunteers that have been in there just doing an amazing job, and that's another place where I really want to put a lot of this information. That, you know, because a lot of our listenership goes through the streaming, and so it'd be really advantageous on our part to have it on our website where people can download the form, fill it out, mail it back, drop it off, scan it to us, email it, whatever they need to do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Teresa.
I was under the impression that the house was donated to KPFT and that the person that donated was a very fond supporter of the Spare Change show.
Correct, but it was
so
written.
This is news to me that it was written to the Pacifica Foundation.
Yeah, it was written to Pacifica.
Okay. Another thing that we have to take into consideration is, I guess, about 15 years ago or so when Mike Martin made the appeal. He was working on us not having to pay taxes every year. We were paying like $10,000 a year in taxes. And I was under the impression that when we got when he finally, I think he went to a United States representative to have those taxes somehow waived, that there was an understanding that since the state was waiving those taxes, if the building was sold, that money was to stay in Texas. Now, I don't know how that was codified, but I don't think that the state really wanted us to waive all of the taxes on our annual taxes on this building that they had collected for so many years, and then if the building was sold, to have it go to California, for example. Just mentioning that to you.
Are you still with us, David?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Again, I'm not a lawyer. I can't answer that question. So,
fair enough.
That's going to be way above my pay grade. I don't know California law. I don't know what was done 12 years ago. I can't answer that question.
Fair enough. Understood. Anyone else?
For this.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So I'm looking at the first page, and just running through the expenses from column or from row 27 to row 34, I noticed that there's in columns I and J, it says fiscal year to 14 to 19 average per year, I guess that is. Not able to read that final end of the phrase. So looking at column J, J32, for example, actually, that's not the most glaring one, I don't think. Yeah, that one's pretty glaring. J32, if you look at that average, it says $120,467 on my sheet. There is no year in the survey period that's that low. all of the numbers are higher than that. So there's no possible way that that average is right. The average looks to be somewhere closer to 150 to me for that. So I'm not sure what that column is supposed to represent, but it certainly doesn't represent the average of fiscal year 14 to fiscal year 19. And I understand that you're not responsible for the math on this. Just wondering.
My understanding on that was, and I may be incorrect, but I think what I was told was development expenses. That's going to be basically our mailings, our third parties, our allegiance, things along those lines, anything that had to do with expenses for the development department. And because we haven't been full on, that's probably why we're seeing the decrease. We have cut back a lot on what we're sending out. Just because of the cost. But I'm not sure if it would be 30 grand worth. But I can have, Markeisha double check that.
Right. I wasn't actually complaining about the budget. In fact, I wasn't even looking at the budget column. I would suspect that your budget is in line with what you anticipate for the year. And I believe that, but I'm just referring to the averages column, which is column J. It doesn't actually reflect the averages that flex. The average of fiscal year 14 to 19 is actually closer to 145,000 than 120,000. So that's off by 25,000. In fact, the whole column is off by close to 20% by my calculation. And I just don't understand that. But if Lyndon feels he could answer it, or if anybody else feels that they can answer it, I'd be happy to develop a new understanding. Thank you.
I'm just going to comment. I think that question would have been appropriate for Markeisha, who unfortunately is not here. We know that David has already said that he, isn't aware of how these things came to be in the budget as they are. And so let's go to Lyndon and see if he has anything to add or another question.
No, I'd just like to agree with Chris. I think it's just an error. And since there are no formulas in J, we can't determine that. But I noticed that also. It's just an error.
I think it's pretty much across the board. So it must just be the failure to add one column, or maybe the divisor is wrong. That one of those two, or maybe both. I'm not sure what's going on there, but that column J is definitely not right. Anyway, you are correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I have a question related to that item. I mean, is that something that we should see corrected, as well as the other question that you had, Chris, before we approve this budget, or?
I don't know what to do, James. It doesn't actually reflect. It doesn't actually affect the budgeted items. It just affects one's perception of how realistic that budget is.
Right.
I could add the formulas back in pretty easily. It would take me maybe 20 minutes to do that. Going through, it might not even do that. It might not even be that bad, because I can use a copy command and go through and alter it. Anyway, it's up to you guys. I could do that right now if you'd like, but it doesn't actually affect the budget. It just affects the values from which the budget is drawn.
Well, it reflects it is a misrepresentation, but I don't think it has anything to do with the budget.
I agree with Lyndon on that.
All right. Well, perhaps we can, if we get to it and we decide we want to go ahead and pass it, we can put a caveat in that those things be corrected.
That's a great idea. I love that idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Julie, I concur with that.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else with another question? I have one myself, but I'll defer to anyone else. Hearing none for the moment. David, I want to ask you, we had a private conversation. I don't want to reveal any numbers or anything that were in that conversation, but you were, we spoke about one of the savings that you were looking forward to had to do with eliminating the internet line that takes the signal to the tower.
Correct.
And that's a fairly large expense each month.
Well, it's because we have seven of them, and we don't need all of those lines.
Right.
So, anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
No, that's really it. I have some other detailed questions about some of the savings and some of the other things that you've mentioned. So I'll just go ahead and ask one of them now. And that's a substantial saving, right? What would be the savings of reducing those expenses?
I think between me and Linda, we figured out it was going to be between $1,500 and $1,800 a month.
That's a lot. That's quite a lot. That's great.
Between the phone system and the internet, yes.
That's
about
great.
$1,500 a month.
And you mentioned, okay, yeah, that's great. Well, congratulations. That's what we get for hiring a radio engineer, right? Good work. There was another example that you mentioned of an engineering department items that were no longer needed, but apparently had just been on a sort of a regular item, expense item, and were not needed. Can you think of any examples?
Yeah, they were real small dollar items. I mean, things like we have a Spotify account, and, you know, you technically can't be playing music off of Spotify on the air anyway, so there's no need to have a Spotify account. Also, we had a couple of other little accounts that were attached to cloud services, or they were maintenance for this, or, you know, and they were just never gotten rid of when the technology moved forward. And so, you know, when I was going through every single one of these, when Markeisha would tell me, I don't know what that's for. All I know is I pay it. So I would call the company and say, what did we sign up for this for? And they would say, oh, it's for us to, you know, for instance, you know, we're monitoring, you know, your internet usage. And we don't need somebody to do that. You know, so $20 a month, that one's gone. And so basically it was just the little items like that that were just sitting out there. But, you know, it adds up to $100 or $200 a month. That's a lot of money throughout a year. So,
and you mentioned earlier something about a 20% reduction in the money going out the door. Do these things all add up to that 20% reduction that you mentioned?
Absolutely, it does.
Got it.
And I think also with the repairs that we're doing, especially once we're able to get into a new home, the cost of maintenance is going to go down by a lot. Just to give you the perfect example, working with the correct people and being able to focus on one item, which was repairing our studio to transmitter link, for instance, okay? I was told, oh, they don't work. That was what I was told. And then it was, you know, they did construction, it blocked the view, it won't work. Okay. So the construction's been over for years. So I hooked them up, and they could see each other just fine. So I got with Don Muscle, who does all of our licensing, and I had him make sure that the path was still licensed to us and that we were still able to use it. And for, you know, being able to repair this unit, it was running a little bit. It didn't have quite enough juice, so I had it rebuilt for the cost of whopping $300 to save $1,800 a month. Mm-hmm. Seems like a fair trade to me. And so those are the things that I go out and I find, because every little dollar that we can save maybe can go towards promotion. Maybe it can go towards marketing. Maybe it can go towards, you know, it can go to other things that will serve us in a much bigger, broader way.
What's the effect, David, of moving, if you were to move the operation closer to the tower? What is the technical effect of that?
It would take a lot of stress off of the equipment that we're currently using. We wouldn't have to shoot our signal as far. Right now it is 10 miles away, 12 miles away, and between 5 and I'd say 8 miles is where we would want to be from the town.
Understood. Great. Thank you. Anyone else?
You're more than one.
Julie, I have a question.
Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. Hey, David, I'm looking at lines 67 and 68 on the budget. So that's
down in the detail.
That's okay. It's down in the detailed expenses, and that's where the local board election expenses would show up. And I actually see a zero for FY21 for local board election expenses. And yet this is a year where we're going to have local board elections. And so I just wanted to note that, you know, while you haven't got anything on the budget there to pay for board elections this year, you may in fact wind up with expenses in that area.
Wonderful.
Almost
Thank
surely
you.
We'll wind up with expenses. Sure. And I recognize, you know, it's you've got an overall surplus. It's not huge, but you know, but that may be where it goes.
Well, I'm hoping. That's the hope.
Okay. Any other questions?
Sharon for the stack.
Teresa for the stack.
Sharon and then Teresa.
I don't think we're having local station board elections in fiscal year 21, the year we're in right now. We are having an election on the bylaws. But maybe that's what you were meaning, Julie, but you said local station board elections.
Well, remember, this is the budget.
Are we having local?
This is the 2020
Sorry?
Budget we're looking at. 20, no, no, it is the 21 budget. So, yeah, there is an election.
We do have elections this year.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Local station board elections?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe yes.
Okay.
In what
thank
year?
You, all right,
well, what month?
You.
What month?
I
starts in June, as far as I know, or July. It starts in July, I think.
I was going to say, I thought Arthur was saying something about it was a couple of months after the referendum vote, something like that.
Well,
or before.
Yeah, that's correct. So it'll be in this fiscal year, at least part of it.
The actual.
Yeah, this is Julie. I looked it up. And the LSB delegates elections will be the August to November time. Well, August to October is when the balloting ends.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Julie.
I just wanted to say, this is Teresa, I just want to say I thought they were in this budget. I thought I saw them.
Well, perhaps there's, and maybe this is part of the, the fact that it's not formulas, because this is down on, like I said, lines 66 to 70 show local board and election expenses. Maybe there's something, maybe the number's further up.
I don't see it. I think it's 67, line 67.
Do you think
that's what, pardon me. No, all I was going to say is I agree. It looks like it should be on 67.
Yes.
Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Lyndon for the staff.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
On that issue, yeah, it probably should be in the other line, just as it says. But I'd also say that we, in our actuals, we haven't recorded a board expense in, well, not in all of 2020 or 2021. We've had zero in board expenses. So we got $2,400 there.
Cross your fingers that covers it.